The two boats, fastened to the little pier that jutted out from the garden, lay rocking in its shadow. Here and there, lighted windows showed through the thick mist on the margins of the lake. The Enghien Casino, opposite, blazed with light, though it was late in the season, the end of September. A few stars appeared through the clouds. A light breeze ruffled the surface of the water. Arsène Lupin left the summer house, where he was smoking a cigar, and bending forward at the end of the pier, "Growler?" he asked. "Masher? Are you there?" A man rose from each of the boats, and one of them answered,
"Yes, Governor."
"Get ready. I hear the car coming with Gilbert and Vaucheray." He crossed the garden, walked round a house in process of construction, the scaffolding of which loomed overhead, and cautiously opened the door on the Avenue de Ceinture. He was not mistaken. A bright light flashed round the bend, and a large open motor car drew up, whence sprang two men in greatcoats with the collars turned up and caps. It was Gilbert and Vaucheray. Gilbert, a young fellow of 20 or 22, with an attractive cast of features and a supple and sinewy frame. Vaucheray, older, shorter, with grizzled hair and a pale, sickly face.
"Well," asked Lupin, "did you see him, the deputy?"
"Yes, Governor," says Gilbert. "We saw him take the 7:40 tram from Paris, as we knew he would."
"Then we are free to act?"
"Absolutely. The Villa Marie-Thérèse is ours to do as we please with."
The chauffeur had kept his seat. Lupin gave him his orders.
"Don't wait here. It might attract attention. Be back at 9:30, exactly, in time to load the car, unless the whole business falls through."
"Why should it fall through?" observed Gilbert.
The motor drove away, and Lupin, taking the road to the lake with his two companions, replied,
"Why?
Because I didn't prepare the plan, and when I don't do a thing myself, I am only half confident."
"Nonsense, Governor. I've been working with you for 3 years now. I'm beginning to know the ropes."
"Yes, my lad, you're beginning," said Lupin, "and that's just why I'm afraid of blunders. Here, get in with me, and you, Vaucheray, take the other boat. That's it. Now, push off, boys, and make as little noise as you can."
Growler and Masher, the two oarsmen, made straight for the opposite bank, a little to the left of the casino. They met a boat containing a couple locked in each other's arms, floating at random, and another in which a number of people were singing at the top of their voices. And that was all. Lupin shifted closer to his companion and said, under his breath,
"Tell me, Gilbert, did you think of this job, or was it Vaucheray's idea?"
"Upon my word, I couldn't tell you. We've both of us been discussing it for weeks."
"The thing is, I don't trust Vaucheray. He's a low ruffian when one gets to know him. I can't make out why I don't get rid of him."
"Oh, Governor."
"Yes, yes, I mean what I say. He's a dangerous fellow, to say nothing of the fact that he has some rather serious peccadilloes on his conscience."
He sat silent for a moment and continued.
"So you're quite sure that you saw Daubrecq, the deputy?"
"Saw him with my own eyes, Governor."
"And you know that he has an appointment in Paris?"
"He's going to the theatre."
"Very well. But his servants have remained behind at the Enghien Villa."
"The cook has been sent away. As for the valet, Léonard, who is Daubrecq's confidential man, he'll wait for his master in Paris. They can't get back from town before 1 o'clock in the morning. But..."
"But what?"
"We must reckon with a possible freak of fancy on Daubrecq's part, a change of mind, an unexpected return..."